Now, how many boys know the Baal Shem Tov says that from everything that a Yid sees or hears, you can learn a lesson in Avodas Hashem? Okay. Well, I just heard about something yesterday, and it was seen by somebody who told me, and I think it's such a geschmack, interesting story, and there's such a big lesson that we should start off the day with this story. Who is listening? Who is ready to listen? Who is ready to listen to this very interesting, brand new story that just happened in the world yesterday? Yesterday, a group of girls, big girls, older girls, they went out for a birthday party for one of their friends. Well, they decided they're going to Manhattan and they're going to a restaurant to make a birthday party. Well, they all got on the train, a big group of girls, to go to a restaurant. And they start talking, which restaurant should we go to? Because they did not plan which restaurant they should go to. So they said a certain name of a restaurant. The certain girls said, well, we're not really sure about the kashrus of the restaurant. Our parents don't eat there, and they told us we really shouldn't eat there because the heksher is not so good. There are other restaurants with better heksherim. And other girls said, oh, come on, come on, it's good. Well, we eat there. There's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. But these girls, a number of girls, were very uncomfortable with that restaurant, with the heksher on that restaurant. So they started discussing, okay, what should we do? And some girls really wanted to go to that restaurant. Oh, it's such a good restaurant. Let's not go to a different restaurant. Let's go to that restaurant. But other girls said, well, we're uncomfortable going there. And so the birthday girl, she said, look, let's go to a restaurant that everybody is comfortable with a heksher, because the main thing over here is the kashrus, and to do what Hashem wants. Isn't the main thing to do what Hashem wants? Yeah. After all, what's a birthday party? Just to go out to eat? Or a birthday party is also a thing from Torah and a special thing. I mean, you know, it's not just a thing. A birthday party, it's special. Let's do it in Hashem's good way, the way that will make Hashem happy. Let's do it in a kosher way. Okay, so they agreed on a restaurant that they all said has a good heksher. And some girls were disappointed, but there's better food in the other restaurant. But they said, look, the main thing is not just the food, it's the kashrus. And these girls finally decided, okay. Now, it's also interesting to note that this birthday girl, she would always say, ah, this is Hashgacha Pratis, look what happened, it worked out for the best. Like she, you know, she's a special girl who is always very careful to notice Hashgacha Pratis, that when you do the right thing, Hashem helps. She always says that also to her other friends. And, you know, when she's talking, many times she says, look, Hashem helps. You do the right thing, Hashem helps. And she said, look, we're doing the right thing. But these other girls are complaining. Okay, they get to the restaurant. And, you know, it's the afternoon, it's not crowded. They go into the restaurant, and all of a sudden they see a big table, or a few tables together, and there was a lot of men eating by that table. And it looked like a big, looked like a meeting, like they were having a big meeting. They're all talking, but they are eating also. You know, sometimes people have a lunch meeting, they eat over lunch. And the girls noticed who was there. And they couldn't believe it. Every singer, every big singer who sings on Yiddish records, I'm not going to say their names right now because maybe I'm going to leave one out or whatever, but every important big singer that you ever hear on a Yiddish recording, plus other people that are in the music business, were all sitting there. They couldn't believe it, all together. Now what happened was, let me tell you why we're there, because last night was a big concert, and they were meeting before the concert for lunch to plan exactly how to do the concert. Who's going to go on first and what they're going to sing and how they're going to come on stage and how they're going to go off stage. All kinds of stuff. And all the singers were right there. These big, you know, these important big new names that you always hear singing. And the girls were eating there. And they were very excited because they saw all their favorite singers right there. And then one of the girls got an idea, because it's this girl's birthday. she went over to the singers and she said, you know, we're having a birthday for one of our friends. Do you mind if you might sing happy birthday to her? So they all got very happy and excited, and all the singers came over to the girl and they were all singing to her happy birthday. Every big Yiddish singer, important name, all together were there, all singing happy birthday. You can imagine how excited she felt and how happy. And what if they would have gone to the other restaurant? Would they have had such a happy birthday song by such big singers? Dafke, because what? They decided to go the right way and do the right thing and go with a kosher way. So not only they got a nice birthday party in a kosher restaurant with good food, but they had a special surprise. Isn't that a very important story? Now, I want to tell you something from the davening. I don't think you daven it yet, but I think it's very important that you know. Who's ready to listen to this? Now, when the tatis and the big boys, and also you, when you're going to start shachris every day, you're going to start this pasuk. Now, listen to it carefully. Hoidu la Hashem, kiru vishmoi, hoidiu vo'amim aliloisof. Whoever heard of hoidu? The beginning of davening is hoidu. Now, I want to tell you what the words mean. Very good. I want to tell you what these words mean. Hoidu la Hashem, thank Hashem, kiru uvishmoi, call on His name, which means really bringing Hashem into the world and doing Torah and mitzvahs. Now, listen closely. Hoidiu, make known, vo'amim, amongst the peoples, the goyim, make known to everybody, tell everybody, Ali Loisov, his plots, Alila, his plans. Now, who knows what an Alila is? Okay, now, you know what a plan is? You know what usually the word Alila, remember Goylem stories, Alilas Dom?
Yeah, they make all these.
Ah. Okay, they make secret plans. And Alila is a secret plan that you don't know what's going on. And in the end, you get fooled like a spy. You think he's a good guy. And he's doing everything you think it's normal. And all of a sudden, at the end, all of a sudden, hey, what happened? Look what he did. Or they stole something or something. And a lila is like a secret plan where you really are, you don't know what's really happening until the end. In other words, an alila is a kind of a thing where you think everything is going along normal, but in the end, there's a surprise that you didn't expect. And many times, the word alila can mean a bad thing. You were tricked. You were fooled. Like a person that says, here's a wonderful brand new car. Buy this car. It's an excellent car for a good price. And you say, oh, yeah, I need a car. It looks beautiful. And the man says it's a very good car. And he even takes you for a drive in the car. And it seems very good. And then you pay the money. And all of a sudden, tomorrow, the whole car breaks down. Hey, what happened? And you take it to the mechanic and they open it up and they say, look, all these parts were junky parts. They worked for about 10 minutes and then they all break. He fooled you. He made it look good, but really it was a piece of junk. Is that an alila? It's a plan with a surprise ending. Now, wait a minute. How could it be that in the first pasuk of davening we're excited and we're telling everybody in the world Hashem's plots? How could it be Hashem's plots that we're telling the whole world and we're thanking Hashem and bringing Hashem into the world? Now the answer is, there are two kinds of plots and plans, bad ones and good ones. Certain plans and certain plots have a surprise ending that's wonderful, that's good. Now what do you think Hashem's plans are? That Hashem has, chas v'shalom, not good endings, surprise endings, or excellent, wonderful surprise endings? What do you think? Excellent. Now, this is exactly what happened. The girls are doing just what Hashem wants, a mitzvah. They don't know anything else. We're going out to a restaurant with a good heksher. They could have gone to a restaurant without such a great heksher, but they chose to do more what Hashem wants, make more of a Kiddush Hashem. Let's go to the place that Hashem will be happier that we go to. It's got a better heksher. So all they were doing was bringing Hashem into the world, Kiru Uvi Shmoi, in other words, bringing Hashem's Hilakite in the world by doing the mitzvah. What happened in the end? Did they get exactly what they expected, or a surprise ending that they didn't expect? Now, they got a surprise ending. Now, did Hashem know in the very beginning that there was going to be this surprise ending or not? Of course. Hashem planned it that way, that if these girls choose to do the right thing, not only they're going to get the mitzvah of eating better kosher food with a better heksher, and not only they're going to get the mitzvah of choosing to do the right thing, they get a surprise ending they're going to get a surprise ending that they didn't expect at all. And that's what they got. And now that's Hashem's alila. It's a plan with a surprise ending that they didn't know they're going to get. But of course, it's good. And they're very excited, and they're telling all their friends. And I'm telling you. And you see how it's very, very wonderful. The Hashkaka Pratis. Now, not only this happens to these girls, it always happens to everybody. When you do the right thing, you get two things. You get Hashem's mitzvah, and many times you get a surprise ending that you didn't expect, because you did the mitzvah. And if you wouldn't do that mitzvah, would you get the surprise ending?
No.
I told you a few weeks ago, I heard this thing that happened in Italy. There's two kinds of olives. There's black olives and there's green olives. The green olives are very cheap, and the black olives are expensive. And different stores sell different kinds of olives. Some have both, you know. And people have to pay more for the black olives. And then there's one store, and the man is selling the black olives for almost as cheap as the green olives. And everybody says, oh boy, in his store, the black olives are so cheap, let's go and buy them there. So he got all the business for black olives. And the other stores that sold them for more expensive got very upset. He's taking away our business. How can he get black olives for so cheap? They're more expensive. And they got all upset. Well, the inspectors heard about it, and they said, sounds maybe that something is fishy over here. How could he afford to sell black olives for almost as cheap as green olives? So they went to make an inspection of his store. And they go down to the basement of the store, because they're looking around. And now, upstairs, he has these buckets of black olives and some buckets of green olives, and people are going buying them. Well, they go into the basement, and that's where he keeps all of his olives. And it was very strange that they only found in the basement green olives, where he stores his stuff. He keeps all of his shipments of stuff. It's only green olives. So the inspectors are scratching their head. And how could he be selling upstairs so many black olives, and downstairs he only has green olives? Doesn't make sense. Something is fishy over here. Well, they checked the whole basement, and in the corner, they found a whole bunch of boxes. What's in these boxes? Well, they look in the boxes. They take out a can, black shoe polish. Another can, black shoe polish. This man is not selling shoe polish. He's not selling shoes. It's not a shoe store. It's an olive store. Or maybe they sell other fruits or something. Why does he have so much black shoe polish? Boxes and boxes. Well, they decided to spy on him at night to see what he does. So either they set up a camera over there, or one of the inspectors was hiding in the corner, and they see at night the man comes down, and he opens up the big barrels of green olives. He goes over to the box of the shoe polish, and he takes out a can of black shoe polish, opens up the can of black shoe polish, dumps it into the big barrel of green olives, takes a big spoon, and starts mishing it around. Well, what happens when you mix black shoe polish with green olives? It's going to get black. Or is the shoe polish going to turn green, or are the olives going to turn black? The olives are going to turn black. and the man was selling green olives full of shoe polish, and he was saying they're black olives. And everybody who goes to buy them, they think they're getting a good deal on black olives. And really, what are they getting? They're getting green olives with shoe polish. Now, does this sound like a plan to you? Like a person is leading you on, and in the end, you get a surprise that you didn't think you were getting. Those are bad plans. Hashem's plans are good plans, where he's leading you on in a good way, that all you think you're doing is the mitzvah, but in the end, you get not only the mitzvah, you get a surprise at the end that you didn't expect. Now, one more thing that came to my mind. Who remembers the man that came down in the Midbar? Now, that was the special food the Yidden got, but what was also mixed into the food? Do you remember?
No.
The man. What was also mixed into the man? They got jewels. There were even jewels mixed in with the man. So not only they got man, they got jewels. Because the way Hashem gives you is not only he gives you in a regular way, he gives you extra, even that you don't expect. Now, the same thing really is every mitzvah. There's the tremendous brachas we get for the mitzvah, and then there's the rewards. We have no idea how great they are in the mitzvahs. A very special thing happened in my class today, and I want to tell everyone about it. We just started davening, and a boy raised his hand. And I called on the boy, and he says, Rebbe, why on Pesach do we ask the four kashas? Why do we ask the four kashas on Pesach? Why do we ask that? And at first I thought to myself, what kind of question is this? Why do we ask the four kashas? And then all of a sudden I started thinking about that. Wait a minute. This is a very interesting question. Every Pesach we ask the four questions. But did we ever think to ourselves, why do we ask the four questions? The four questions, each one is a question. But his question was, why do we have to ask the four questions in the first place? Why on Pesach? At first I thought, is this a chutzpah? Now, we started thinking about it. Kenelach, is Hanukkah the same as all other nights, or is the night of Hanukkah different? The night of Hanukkah is different. But do we ask on Hanukkah, why is this night different? We don't ask. Is Purim the same as all other times or different? Different, but we don't ask. Is Sukkot the same as all other nights, or is Sukkot different? It's different. Every Yontav is special and different, but we don't ask. But on Pesach, we ask, what is different this night, Manishtan Alayla Zeh, from all other nights of a whole year? Why do we have to ask that? This is a very good question. Now, I said to the boy, I started to think about the question, and I said, actually, I had an answer in my mind, and I said to the class, look, I can't answer it right now. We did not yet say Birchas HaTorah. You should not learn Torah before you say the brachas on the Torah. So I said, Bli Neder, I'll give you an answer after we say the bracha on tzitzis. Before we say Hareini Mekabel, so after we say tzitzis, I'll try to give you an answer. And so I was thinking, and I started to think, shh. And we went on to daven the brachas, and Yehi Ratzon, and Birchas HaTorah, and Yevarech Lecha, and Eilu Dvarim. And then we said the bracha on tzitzis, and then I started to say Hareini Mekabel. We sing a song, Hareini Mekabel. We started to sing the song, and all of a sudden, the class, many of the boys said, wait, Rebbe,
You said you would answer the question now. And I smiled and I said, aha, this is the answer to your question, exactly what happened now. And everybody said, huh, what are you talking about? Now listen closely, and I think maybe we can learn something from this, because what I am saying is not my own idea, it's Hasidus, but I think that this way we'll really understand what it says in Hasidus. Shh. I said like this, how come everybody now stopped me? And the reason is because you really want to know the answer to the question. The question bothers you. You want to know the answer. Certain kind of questions don't necessarily bother you. If you think to yourself, let's see, elephants in Africa are gray. In China, they're brown. Why in Africa the elephants are one color and in China they're a different color? That's a question. Well, you might forget the question in 5 minutes because it's not important to know about, so you don't even think about it. But this question, of course, was so important, boys wanted to know the answer. So I said, boys, this is exactly the answer to the question. And I said, I'm going to answer the question starting with another question. If you're alone on an island and it's Pesach and nobody is there, there's no people, only trees, and of course fish are swimming in the ocean, and you have your Haggadah, do you ask Manishtana? Do you say, Tate ich will bei dir fragen für Kashas? Yes, because who is your father? Who is there with you?
Hashem.
Hashem is your Tati who is there with you. And you're asking the question to Hashem. Now, when you say, what is the difference this night? One thing that night means is night. Another thing night means is galus. The galus is like the dark night. And of course, Mashiach and the Geula and all the good things are like the light after the darkness, the Lichtigkeit. Many times in Hasidus, night and darkness are all of the Yetzirah things and the Galus things and the not good things. And all of the Halakha things and the Lichtigkeit things and the nice things are light. So you're asking Hashem, what is the difference this Galus than all the other nights of the whole year, all the other galuyos, like we learned. As we heard when Yaakov had the dream of the ladder, there were four scary malachim. Each malach was a malach of galus. And there were four malachim. But there was a big difference, there is a big difference between the first three malachim going up the ladder and the last one. Because the malach of Bavel went up, but then he came down. Which means what? The galus ended. The malach of Madai went up, but he came down. Which means what? The galus ended. The malach of Yavan went up the ladder, but he came down. Which means what? The galus ended. But the last malach of Edoim goes up the ladder. Did he come down? Or is he going up, 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 up? He is going up and he still didn't come down for more than 2,000 years. Why is this galus continuing for so long? This is the question. Why is this galus different than all the other galuyos? All the other galuyos ended, and this is still going on. It seems endless. In fact, Yaakov himself had the question in his dream. Now, why are we asking this on Pesach? Because when does this bother us the most that we're in galus? We come to Pesach, and we have a question. We are bothered. It bothers us. Just like when we said tzitzis, we went on to Harani, but the boys said, no, we can't go on. before we know the answer to the question. The question is bothering us. We want to know. Now is the time you said you would answer the question. Ken Allah. Every other yantav is special. But we don't ask a question because nothing is bothering us. We have a nice yantav. We're sitting in a sukkah. We're lighting the menorah. We're lighting the Megillah for Purim. We're blowing the shofar for Rosh Hashanah. Nothing is really bothering us. But what happens Pesach? What's the whole yantav? We're going out of Mitzrayim. We're having a geula. The Eibishter is taking out of us. The Eibishter is taking us out of Golis. That's the whole simcha. All of a sudden, something is bothering us. But Hashem, we're still in Golis. How can we be excited and happy about going out of Mitzrayim if we're still sitting here in Golis? We are excited. We're going out of Mitzrayim with Moshe Rabbeinu. We have the Geula. It's Pesach. That's the whole thing. We feel like we ourselves, a person has to feel like he himself is going out of Mitzrayim. So we get excited. All of a sudden, wait a minute. How can we say that if we're still in Golis? So we say to Hashem, why are we still in Golis? Why is the Golis going on for so long? It's bothering us. So that's why on Pesach we ask Manishtana, because that's dafka the time that we're most bothered by being in Golis. The Kinalach, which yantiv is the most connected with Mashiach? Also Pesach, not the beginning of Pesach, but the end of Pesach. So the yantiv that's most about Golis is also the most about Mashiach and Geula. Because by the last days, especially Acharon Shel Pesach, we have Sudas Mashiach, the Haftarah is about Mashiach, and the whole Yontif is about Mashiach. So, Mirtz Hashem, this Pesach, we're not going to be on Crown Heights or anywhere else in Golis. We're going to be in Yerushalayim, in the third base of Mikdash. And we're going to be together with all the big tzaddikim and all the yidden and make the Korban Pesach. And on the Kaira, it's not going to be a chicken neck. It's going to be a piece of the Korban Pesach. And by the Afikoyman, it's not going to be matzah. It's going to be a shtickel flesh from the Korban Pesach. And we're not going to have an eggy over there. We're going to have a piece of flesh from the Korban Chagiga. And we're going to be in Yerushalayim and dance in the base of Mikdash. Tate ich will bei dir fragen vier Kasches. Man ich stand o halayla haze mikal halaylois. Was is anders den Nacht von Pesach, von allen Eck, von der ganz Jor. Die erste Kasche is, Shebachol halaylois, ein anumat bilin, afilu pamechos, halayla haze. Stay piyamim, alanek panagan syor, tunken mir nit aina filu ein mol, abedinak van Pesach, tunken mir ein zwei mol, ein mol kapas in Salzwasser, den zweiten mol morar in Charoises, dit zweite kashe is, shebechol halelis anu eichlin, chomei tzoi matzo, Halayla hazeh, kuloi matzah. Alanek panagan syor, esen mir chomeitza der matzah. Abedinak van Pesach, esen mir nor matzah. De dritte kashe is, shebachol halaylois anu eichlin, sh'or yirakois, halayla hazeh, moror. Alanek panagan syor, esen mir andere grinsen, or some people say, alle grinsen, aber den Tag von Pesach essen mir bittere grinsen. The third kashe is, shebachol halelos anu eichlin, ben yoshvin uvein mesubin, Halayla hazeh kulanu misubin alanet panagansyor esemir sai zitzin diker hate on sai on galenter hate abedenach van pesach esemir ale on galenter hate tate ich hab bei dir gefragt vier kashes.